¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Tony Abbott stayed in the top job, 61-39. You would have been hard-pressed to avoid a full day of analysis of all of this. It's emerged this morning that 9 MPs, and according to the Telegraph, 6 of them are ministers, told Tony Abbott they'd vote for him only to break ranks and vote for the motion to spill the leadership. So you've got 6 ministers, and the suggestion is that at least one of them has been identified. The expectation is that Tony Abbott will have the next few months to improve the government's position or face being dumped. So that's the leadership thing. Question is, we've got a budget coming up in May. The challenge for the government is coming up with a budget which will appeal to voters while at the same time coming up with a plan to fix the mess. They've spent the last 18 months telling us how bad the books are. They can't come back to us in March with a budget offering business tax cuts and no hidden nasties. So how do you go about this? What do you do? Tony Abbott saying good government starts today. We really want to look at this from the point of view of what is happening today and forward rather than what's happened over the last 18 months, the last few years. So how would Labor deal with this? Because they could be 18 months away from being back in government based on the polls, and they will have to make decisions in the Senate to try and get some of these essential pieces of legislation through. Anthony Albanese is the Shadow Minister of Infrastructure and Transport. He's on the line. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
You'd accept the budget position isn't good. What would you do if you were the Treasurer today? What should they do?
Well, the first thing that I'd do is go to the saves that they reversed. The high end of superannuation is one measure, whereby we had some modest measures, but they would have grown over a period of time. They were important structural changes in the budget. The second is the $1 billion that they stopped getting in terms of revenue from company tax that was being offshored. Now, they're just two measures. That's where you'd start. The other thing that you'd do, though, is make sure that the principle of fairness goes across any measures that are put in place. That's why this budget of last year that still hasn't been carried this year has gone down like a lead balloon, because it's an attack on fairness. And I think Tony Abbott conceded that when he made the remarkable statement yesterday that good government begins today. I think people will wonder, what were they doing in their first 16 months?
Just take us through, what do you mean by these changes to superannuation, and how would that impact on most of us out here?
Well, what we had was a bonus, basically, an incentive to put in superannuation if you were a low-income earner. So at the moment, top end of town, if you get, say, up to $2 million in terms of superannuation benefits, that is part of a package, that's often done because the tax concessions provide an incentive for that to occur. Now, that sort of tax minimisation compares with those at the bottom end who need more in their superannuation in terms of just surviving, not as any tax minimisation.
But that's not a savings plan, though, is it? Yeah. That's actually revenue foregone, isn't it?
There was that measure at the low end, that's right, but over a period of time it certainly was a savings measure, and it grew into the future.
But the big issue that no one's prepared to tackle, and even Alan Jones was saying this last night on Q&A, that high-income earners like you and me and Gary, who are baby boomers or late Generation Xers, who are starting to look towards that age of 60, where you get massive tax breaks if you're a high-income earner, surely they ought to be reined in.
I agree that they should be. But let's go back.
But when we say they should be, is anyone going to do anything about it?
Well, we had begun to do it. That's the point. We actually had legislation that they reversed when they came into office.
But given the political climate in this country, is it too hard to do these things?
No, I don't think it is. Part of the problem is that the government talked down the economy and confidence, which is so important, They inherited an economy that was in sound shape, and we shouldn't talk ourselves down. We had low unemployment, low inflation, record low interest rates. The economy grew by 15% in spite of the fact that the rest of the world went through the global financial crisis. We had relatively low debt. On infrastructure investment, we'd gone from 20th in 2007 to first. So the foundations are sound, and we shouldn't talk them down.
But the budget's blowing out, though. Debt is growing, isn't it?
Absolutely. We need to address the structural issues in the budget, and they need to be addressed in a way, as we've just been talking about, at the high end.
What about in your electorate? You'd have Green voting and Labor voting people in the inner city who'd be negatively geared. I mean, half the city is negatively geared. So something like that, isn't that untouchable because there's so many people who are doing it?
Well, that's certainly very difficult because people have made decisions based upon the existing system. So I think governments will find it very difficult to address that issue, but there are other changes that they've made, is what I'm saying. Since they've been in government, in spite of the fact they've spoken about the structural deficit, they have not addressed issues such as that. Remember when we, towards the end period of the government, foreshadowed clamping down essentially on the FBT on cars so that you would have to actually...
The salary packaging issue. Yep. And we know the salary packaging is we put huge amounts of money at the Liberal Party to get a campaign running.
The media just... we got smashed on it. And, you know, that was a system whereby all you had to do was provide the evidence for 2 weeks out of five.
That was a roar.
And you could keep getting it.
Still is
and
a roar.
They've reversed that. So there's a range of measures that go to fairness, that go to people who should be paying tax,
Yeah, but we're all talking about bits and pieces here. I mean, the manufacturing era is over. The mineral resources boom is over. What is Australia going to live off over the coming 10 to 20 years? How do we define ourselves?
Look, we have to be the smart economy.
But when people say we have to be the smart economy, what does that mean?
What that means is Australia's been very good at innovation. What we have not been good at is then value-adding onto the inventions that we have. We have invented things like Wi-Fi that, you know, I'm probably using to talk to you now. We've invented a range of measures in terms of renewable energy. But what we have not been good at is value-adding and creating jobs here in Australia out of that. I'm very confident we are a smart country. We need to invest in education. We need to invest in training. We need to make sure that we take advantage of our greatest asset, which is our people. But we have enormous opportunity due to the growth in the middle class in this region. Areas like tourism that I have responsibility for, the potential is quite enormous from India, China, Vietnam, Indonesia over the coming decades.
All right. Look, the story on the front page of Telegraph today suggests six ministers voted against Tony Abbott. In your long time in politics, you've been involved in a few leadership challenges. How many times have you been lied to?
Oh, a few times.
Have you ever noticed? Do you ever notice people craning in meetings? I know you have show and tell approaches in the Labor Party. People craning, looking over the shoulder to see who's marking the ballot paper which way.
See, I'm old-fashioned. I've always told people when I'm not voting for them, I've never left any doubt as to what my position is, and I think that the easiest way to wake up in the morning with a clear conscience.
But do you reckon they'd know in the Liberal Party who voted, you know, who said one thing and voted the other?
I reckon they would. They certainly knew over the weekend that people were ringing around on behalf of Malcolm Turnbull, in spite of the fact that you know, on one count, with Malcolm still sitting on the front bench there, he didn't challenge Tony Abbott yesterday. We know that, in effect, he did. Tony Abbott was successful in implementing his new policy of stop the vote, and he did that only by binding his ministers. Without that, he wouldn't be Prime Minister today.
What of relief in your party that Tony Abbott remains Prime Minister?
Well, we want to see good government, though. And
but you are relieved that Turnbull's not leading the government now.
Well, we've had Malcolm Turnbull as leader before, of course, and he was a failure. I think that Malcolm Turnbull isn't exactly someone who's in touch with the needs of ordinary people in my electorate.
So you're the first government that's going to... First opposition, you say you want to see a good government, that if they do a good job in the next 6 months, you say, you know what? They've done a fantastic job. Would you say that?
Well, we'll wait and see.
A political warrior like you will get up and say, you know what? Joe's really surprised me. That's a fantastic budget. I can't say anything negative about it.